Greetings in Jesus' name this morning to you all. It's been good to be here with you this week, this weekend. Yesterday, the program and enjoyed your children's participation in that, and also the picnic. Enjoyed being with you. This morning for a message, you can turn to Galatians chapter 4. I was going to mention, I was reminded this morning that it is Pentecost today, and I hadn't thought of it. And so you're not going to get a Pentecost message this morning. I have something else, but I think God can bless it anyways. So Galatians chapter 4, there's a phrase in verse 9 that stood out to me some time ago, and I looked into it. I actually preached this message for our council meeting a few weeks ago, and but let's read the first 9 verses of Galatians chapter 4 now. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So the phrase that stood out to me there in verse 9 is that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. And so the thought this morning is being known of God. And we could look at this in the context, and it's good too, and we'll probably refer to some of this a little bit later on. Being a son, when you knew not God, you did service to them which by nature are no gods. And but now you have known God, or rather, God has known you. Why would you turn back to those things? But I think that phrase can stand alone as well. You have known God, or rather, are known of God. Now, I think I didn't do a lot of study into whether this is right or not, but my impression would have been over the years that the Bible talks probably more about us knowing God than of God knowing us. But there's quite a few verses that talk about God knowing us, or God knowing his people, different people that God knew. Paul says here that the Galatians had known God, but more than that, that God had known them. And we'll look at how that was. God knew them because they believed and were redeemed and received the adoption of sons. So I'd like to look at the scriptures that I found that talk about God knowing us. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. Says simply, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. If we love God, then God knows us. And then we'll go to the Old Testament, go to Abraham in Genesis 18, says that God knew him. Genesis 18, verse 19. For I know him, this is God speaking, that he will command his children and his household after him, And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God says he knows Abraham. He knows how Abraham will do. He knows how Abraham will teach his children. Exodus 33, we'll look at Moses a little bit. Verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. And verse 17 says something similar. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 talks about God knowing someone, knowing Jeremiah, before he was born. Before I formed thee, Jeremiah 1 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Nahum 1 verse 7, if I can find that quickly. There he is. Right after Micah. It says, The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then finally, Matthew 7. This one's a little more negative, we could say. We're familiar with it. God says, I never knew you. Matthew 7, Matthew 7, 21 and 22, it says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So what does it take to be known of God? And I'd just like to go through these verses that we read and see why these people, or why God says he knows us in these verses that we read. We also do need to know God in order to be known of him. Hebrews 11:6 says, Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he that cometh to God, if he wants to be known of God, he needs to know God. He must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. First Corinthians 8 verse 3 says, as we read, But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Loving God in order for God to know us. And this includes having faith in the finished work of Christ, to love God. We will not be known of God without that. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so to be known of God, we must love God. We must know God and love God. What did God say about Abraham that made him say, I know Abraham? I know what he will do. Let's turn to James 2 and see what James says about Abraham there. James 2, verses 21 to 23 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. But you see, he walked in obedience. If Abraham would have said, you know, I love God, I believe God, but, you know, this offering my son, that's just a little bit too much. I can't do that. God would not have been able to say of him that I know him. I know how he will do. God would not have been able to say that. And so Abraham's faith made him act, and he did what God asked him to do. He loved God more than his son of promise. And that's why he was called the friend of God. Why did God know Moses so intimately? It says he I know thee by name. And another place it says that Moses spake, or God spake to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Exodus 33:11 says that. But Moses also believed God. I also see faith and obedience in Moses that made God say, I know him, I know you by name. I've just been impressed over the years thinking about reading about Moses in Exodus. And when he built the temple and when he or the tabernacle, not the temple. When God told him to do things, and even crossing the Red Sea and different things, it says, and God said to do it so, and Moses did it like God said. Over and over again, you see that in Exodus. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God knows us because he has a work for us. He says, I ordained thee to Jeremiah to be a prophet unto the nation. I sanctified thee. I set you apart for this work. He knows us because he has a work for us. In John 10, he knows us because we are his sheep. And actually, I didn't read those verses before. I missed them. John 10, 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep, and am known of mine, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I know my sheep, he says, because we are his sheep. And the sheep know him, and am known of mine. Understand that a shepherd, when he's out there with his sheep, and he starts calling to them. Sheep recognize his voice. And so when we recognize God's voice, then we are known of God. First Timothy 2, verse 19. God knows who is and who isn't. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Those that depart from iniquity are known of God. It's interesting to me as I looked this over this morning. It seems like to be known of God. It comes down to taking on what Jesus did for us and trusting in him and believing that and then living in obedience. That's the main thing, it seems like. Faith and obedience are how to be known of God. So how do we know then if we are known of God? And I'd like to spend the rest of our time in 1 John chapter 3. There's some very clear things that we can know how we are known of God. I'm just going to read that chapter, 1 John 3. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." There's a lot of things in here that tell us how we know if God knows us. And the first one is we're called the sons of God. The love that the Father bestowed upon us, that we could be called the sons of God. If we have that inner confirmation in our hearts that we are a son of God, we know that God knows us. And we had that thought back here in Galatians chapter 4. God, verse 4, "In the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So we have been redeemed by the Son that the Father sent. Then we are no longer servants, but sons. And when we are that, we know that God knows us. Not only do we know God, but God knows us. Second one is when we have our sins taken away, for which sake he was revealed. And that's a little bit the same thought as the former one. We have that thought in verse 5, when we know, and ye know, that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. We also have the thought of, along with that, we have the thought of sanctification. If we have the hope of being a child of God, then we will walk in sanctification. Every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's the thought of becoming more like God wants us to be. Sanctification. If we have our sins taken away, we look into our hearts and lives, and we see the sanctifying power of God being exercised and working there, then we know that we are known of him. Number three, when we do righteousness. Verse 7, let no man deceive you, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. Now we know that cannot be our own righteousness. We know what Isaiah 64:6 says, our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags before him. When we think we're really doing something, we're really being righteous, we're really being better than the other person, that's like a filthy rag before God. That is not true righteousness. But when we walk in righteousness because he is righteous, because he has taken our sins away, because we depend on him, because we walk with him, because we love him, we do righteousness because of those things, then we know that we are known of him. Number four, if the Son has destroyed the works of the devil within us. And we have that thought in verse 8. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. It's a very similar thought to a few that we've had. A lot of these overlap and relate. But how we know that we are known of God. Number five, when we are born of God or born again, as we see that thought here in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. John 3, I'm just going to read some verses there where Jesus is talking with Nicodemus. That's a familiar portion to us. In verse 5, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Let's go down to verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. A transforming work of God, of the new birth, when that is part of us. We believe on him and we are not condemned, then we know that we are known of God. Number six is when we love each other, when we love the brethren, when we love our fellow church people. And actually the Apostle John here, he spends more time on that one than on any of the others. It's a message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I think that makes it very important. What does it mean to lay down our lives for the brethren? Does it mean to lay down my own ideas, my own thoughts, my own wishes, even my own property, which, after all, I'm only a steward of anyways. I'm not really the owner of it. God owns all things, and I had a right friends in Alberta. I had one friend there, he's passed away, but he was very, very strong that in order to follow God, we need to give up everything and has to be a communal living. He was very, very strong on that. I think he was born again, but that was one thing that he was just very strong on. But can we give up our own things in our hearts to the same degree for our brethren because we love them, even though we don't live communally and give everything up in that way? And yet my things, my brother needs it, my things are my brother's things. I think it says that here: whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and doesn't help him, doesn't show compassion, how is the love of God in him? God doesn't know that person, I don't think. And so when we love our brethren and we are willing to lay down our lives for them, then we are known of God. Verse 13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Does the world need to hate us in order for us to be known of God? We like to be well thought of. We like to be known, and we need to be known as people of honesty and integrity and love and care. The world appreciates those things. But the world does not appreciate when our lives condemn their lives. And when our lives are lived in such a way that people never feel condemned by the way we live, I'm not sure God really knows us. Luke 6:26, Jesus has something to say about this thought. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And we know there are laws being enacted today that go against what principles we believe in, biblical teachings. And we may very well face hatred over some of those things sometime in the future. And woe unto us, Jesus said, if all men always just speak well of you. They need to speak, like I said, they need to speak well of us in our love, in our honesty, our integrity, all those things. They must. That's very important that they speak well of us there. But sometimes even when our integrity bothers them, they may not speak so well of us. And so woe when all men just speak well of us. We need to be looked at as different from the world. And so then God will know us. When we're of the truth, verse 19 speaks to that, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Pilate asked Jesus, he said, what is truth? I'm not sure if Pilate was really confused that day as to what really truth was. He saw Jesus, who he was. He heard what the scribes and Pharisees said. But he didn't really seem to expect an answer. He said, what is truth? And today there are many situations when we ask, what is really the truth in this situation? We don't know. We hear this, we hear that, but what is really the truth? But when it comes to the truth of God, we don't need to ask Pilate's question. We know that we are of the truth. We hold the truth freely in our hands. And the truth can be received into our hearts. And so if we are people of the word, then we are of the truth. And God will know us. If we can assure our hearts before him, 19 to 21, verse 20, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And I don't know if I totally understand what this all means, but sometimes our heart, our feelings, our emotions are not in line with the truth. And we need to go back and we need to see, am I a son of God? Have I taken on what Jesus offered? Have my sins been taken away? Do I do righteousness because he is righteousness? Has the Son destroyed the works of the devil within? Have I been born again? Do I love my brethren and those around me? Am I grounded in the truth? And when those things are all true, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. We can try to come to rest that God does know us. And eventually our heart will condemn us not, and then we can have confidence toward God. I don't know if that's exactly all that means, but that's my thoughts on that. If we receive what we ask of him, in verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, this is not a name it and claim it message that I'm preaching here, that I'm talking about. There is caveats to that. We cannot ask selfishly and expect to get whatever we want from God, because after all it says, whatever you ask, you receive of him. That's not the word. If we read the rest of the verse, it's because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We want to please him, and so the things that we ask for are asked to help us to please him better. There's a couple of conditions we can find also. James 4, verse 3 has one. It says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So that's a thought of asking selfishly. And you don't receive. God doesn't give you what you want, because you only want to consume it upon your lust, just for your own selfish gratification, you're asking this. That is not what this means. And then in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And so it's a little bit the same thought that we have here in verse 22. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight, and we ask for those things that will please him. And then we can know that he knows us. We believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we've touched on that when we've talked about it. Romans 10, verses 8 to 11, talk about this very, very clearly. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Then we know that he knows us. If we dwell in him, in he and us, by the Holy Spirit he has given, in verse 24, and hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. And when we have evidences of the Spirit speaking to us, or giving us words, or giving us direction, and we know it lines up, the direction, the words line up with what is in the scripture here, we know it's from the right Spirit, and we know that we can know that God knows us. And so this morning, it's a wonderful thought. It's a blessing to think about God knowing me. God created me. And I can know that God knows me. There's a question, do I know God? And we need to know God. We cannot please God without knowing him. We saw that. But the Bible says about devils also believe and tremble. And so we need to answer that question, do I know God? But maybe the more important question is, does God know me? In Matthew 7 there, he says, I never knew you. And does God know me? And so may God bless us as we seek to answer that question in our lives from day to day. May God bless you.